Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness, a college education, a good job, a healthy family, respect for your neighbors, retirement, happiness. Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness.
Ignorance.
A college education.
Mental programming.
A good job.
Slavery.
A healthy family.
Corporate control.
Respect for your neighbors.
Governmental abuses.
Retirement.
Obey.
Happiness.
You are now listening to the world famous Sofa King podcast.
Please read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
That's horrible.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
With Todd. Todd. You say funny things.
Starting off this episode good. Britt's gonna be pissed.
It was my own fault. So
It was my GI Joe Kung Fu grip. He just smashed the bottle and the glass together and just made a horrible noise. It didn't do the clink.
It's because I had two fingers up on the glass like this, and it just,
and then one in the stink.
Yeah, I had the shocker glass. Yeah, and there was no reverberation from this glass whatsoever.
Yeah, it just donk.
I redid it and made myself feel like it happened at least, but it didn't happen on time.
And then you spilled half of it on yourself.
That bothered me.
Yeah. Wow. And then you fucked a dog right in front of us. It was horrible.
Yeah. What? Huh? I just feel sorry for the kid. What? I'm just going to finish every story with that. That's always my response.
I just feel sorry for the kid.
When someone tells you some big-ass story you don't care about, not really listening, I just feel sorry for the kid.
What?
Wait, what?
Yeah, what? The kid.
Yeah, the one you were talking about. You're just telling me about it.
And then you just go, oh, you know, I wasn't listening.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Your story sucks so fucking bad.
I mean, there was like a good 50% chance there was a kid in your story.
Yeah, and technically, I'm the kid right now because I feel sorry for myself.
I took a gamble.
Yeah.
And I lost.
It was the blue hat.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. I concur.
Speaking of gambling, next time you're at the store and you're thinking about what hot sauce to buy, don't gamble. Just buy El Yucateco and you'll be happy. You'll be a winner every time.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah. You like that? No?
Wow.
Scratch that off
your notes.
No, it's not on my notes. I'm just fucking around being stupid.
It's horrible.
I know it was. It was meant to be. It was presented in such a fashion that you were buying Ovaltine.
You just made me angry.
It's fine.
And I'm angry right now.
Well, you're lucky I'm not angry because I'd be rock fucking hard.
I know. That's better.
I'll give you the eye of the tiger.
I'm trying to make you angry.
Let me crawl under this table and jerk you off.
Go ahead. You can with your mouth.
What the hell is going on?
You shut up over there or we'll jack you off.
I swear to God, Dave. You don't
swear to God. I'm going to suck your dick so fucking hard, Dave.
Oh, man.
Say what? Make one more noise. I'll be making noise all over your dick.
If this is your first time listening to the Sofa King podcast, I think we've nicely summed up our previous 200 episodes in the first 2 minutes and 50 seconds.
Yeah, we're missing a couple things, but whiskey, hot sauce, dick jokes.
Yeah, we got it all. Yeah. Out of the way
Gary
right
Coleman
there.
Pigeons.
Yeah, there.
Yeah.
There
done.
Yeah. Oh, baby punch.
Yeah, baby punches. Yeah.
History. Yeah. Look how many dead people.
Yeah. One-star review. Yeah. Wrong date. Date and time. Welcome back to our show. This is the year 2016, and we'd just like to congratulate you on Obama becoming president.
What are you drinking there, Dave?
Water.
I'm drinking the Redbreast 15-year.
Yeah, underage again.
Because it's delicious.
I just permanently left Curtis Fields here. I want to say Curtis Steiger, but that's a 90s... musician that my mom used to listen to and have a cassette tape of.
That's funny that you say that name because there was a guy wearing a shirt that I was with today that was shirt. Yes, I swear to God.
No way, dude. That's from the 90s, dude. And
it was an old ass fucking shirt.
I doubt that dude ever had a shirt.
I don't know. He had a fucking shirt, Curtis Steiger on with I swear to God, I'm not going to lie to you. Or would I? But I'm serious about this.
You have nothing to gain from it. That's
no, I don't. It's not a joke. That's why I said it was weird.
Who's the guy?
He was a fucking guy out in the oil fields. He was
bullshit. Now I call bullshit. You stumbled on that.
No, I was in the fields today. driving around. I was getting a ticket signed. There was a guy wearing that fucking shirt.
You have his number?
I can get it.
I would like to get to the bottom of this because it's pretty like unbelievable that you have that shirt. That's such an obscure 90s reference. There's no way.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you.
Is it really? I don't know.
I'll look it up.
What are you
looking? I don't know. What are you going to look up?
I'm trying to see Curtis Steiger and see if it even comes up on Google.
I just feel sorry for the kid.
Like, is this guy still relevant, maybe? Like, maybe he had a comeback.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe he did have, like, a reunion concert.
I just feel sorry for the kid. It's such a good one. I'm totally doing that now.
Did we even start that on the show? Do they know what we're talking about?
What?
Yeah, that was on the show.
We just did that.
Damn, we just talked about it.
Brent over there. He'd have one drink of whiskey, one drink of underage whiskey, and
thank you, Patty Larson, for the red.
Come back to her.
No, check it out. He's back. That's what's up. Here's him in the 90s, obviously.
And I remember him.
Check this shit out.
Fucking fly. Yeah.
Homie got a haircut.
Damn.
He's all fucking black and white picture. He's all modern shit.
Nice.
Damn. Yeah. I'm telling you.
All right. I stand corrected. I believe it's plausible that he had a Curtis Steiger shirt on.
I'm 100% positive because I would have never. What, recognize that name.
Curtis Steiger didn't make a comeback. He did now with all this publicity.
That's right. We just
the other thing, though, the reason I remember though is because I was reading the guy's shirt. It said Curtis Steiger concert. And I was like, who the fuck is that? Like, what kind of shitty music do you listen to?
That's random, dude.
Going in my, and you say the name, like, that's funny.
Yeah, that's
so
random.
I don't know. Anyway, so we're talking about boats today.
Yeah.
Big boats, little boats, medium boats, smaller boats, bigger boats.
Chili boats.
Dinghies. Those are boats. Yeah. Pontoon boats.
That was the end of my boat knowledge. I was going to give you a list of other types of boats. I stopped at dinghies.
Yeah, we're pontoons.
Clipper.
Submarine.
Frigate.
Oh, a canoe? Is a canoe a boat? I guess it is, huh?
Yes. I guess a canoe's a boat.
Well, I mean, like, I don't know. Is it considered a boat or a canoe? Like, what do you call a... It's a canoe, right? See?
No. A Camry is a car. It's just, that's a type of boat.
Is it?
Oh, God. It turns on me as soon as I try to pick sides. Always picks your side.
Do I?
Why?
Does he?
Hey, I just feel sorry for the kid, you know?
Yeah, me too.
Seemed like a nice guy.
We're stuck in
that's
a
another
loop.
One. Seemed like a nice guy.
Yeah.
Do that. I don't know. It always seemed like a nice guy. I just feel sorry for the kid. That's going to end up in my stand-up routine.
Who got raped? That's fine. Wait a minute. Who got raped?
The other one you can do, if you have to sell it. Like, if you sell it works. And if you sell it short, it's fucking obvious that you weren't listening and you're being a dick. Yeah. And it's just, I'll be damned.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen it happen both ways. Yeah. A guy I work with and another guy I work with, a guy was just fucking going on and on about some boring shit. None of us were paying attention. And my friend was like, I'll be damned. It was so obvious that he was paying no fucking attention.
It's going to work in my equation. I'd be like, I'll be damned. Seemed like a nice guy. I just feel sorry for the kid.
It's going to get longer where you end up having a story.
It's a nonsensical.
I'll be damned. Didn't that seem like a nice guy? I just sorry for the kid and his mom. She had cancer and died last year. Swell fella.
Speaking of mayonnaise, my Uncle Bob has a tattoo.
Wait a minute. Did we talk about this on the show?
Pigments? Yeah, I think we did. This is how you know we don't have much material covering this topic.
No, actually, we have too much material on this motherfucker. No
shit. This
well,
this
you
is
guys
like a
do.
Two-parter.
So our topic today is Aleister Crowley.
The sex magician.
Yes, actually.
This guy's a pimp, dude.
This fucking guy. Like... It was so hard to research him because everything that I looked at was like, oh my God, it's still fucking going.
Well, I was confused. Like, I was confused because Brent's like, hey, let's do Aleister Crowley, the guy who started the Church of Satan. And I'm like, wait a minute. Isn't that Anton LaVey?
It started with an A.
And I was like, I'm just totally confused.
It was a name on the Google calendar.
Because then I find the magician and I'm like, no, this isn't the guy. You know, it's not him. But anyway.
Aleister Crowley predated Anton LaVey, and he wasn't what I thought. Like, I thought I had a handle on Aleister Crowley.
I thought he was going to kill somebody. People are going to be probably like surprised that we really didn't know a lot about Aleister Crowley because that's a huge thing for everybody. But
is it?
I knew.
Is it, Brent? Yeah.
I mean, and he seemed like a nice guy.
In advance, I knew he was an occultist. I knew he studied quote unquote practical magic.
Yeah.
And I knew he was a member of the Golden Dawn.
Wait a minute.
Was based off of
the Golden Dong?
No, that was that movie you watched last night.
Oh.
The Golden Dawn.
Oh, I watched the wrong documentary.
I was wondering why they were doing sex kung fu.
Yeah.
Well, it might have been
after
the
research. Yeah, I didn't know. I'm confused.
So, Aleister Crowley, if you don't know anything about him, he was a
He was
a poet. He was a novelist. He was a journalist. He was an explorer. He would fucking do crazy, like, first time ever climbing a mountain that no one's ever climbed before. He almost became a professional chess player.
He was a painter.
Yep. He fucking experimented with drugs. He was a yogi, a magician. He was a human rights activist, a philosopher, an artist. Like, he was just fucking all over the place.
And this guy traveled like he had a fucking, like, Learjet.
Oh, dude, he traveled everywhere. That was what was so hard to do on the research. You would be like, the such and such years from 1919 to 1923, and it's just like he traveled to these eight countries and fucking met with this yogi and blah, and it's like, holy fucking shit, I can't even keep track of it.
And he switched gears. He's like me. He had ADHD. He was like, but he had to make such an effort to do it. Like, he's, I'm going to go to India and become a yogi. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
then, he just had money.
I'm going to become a Buddhist monk.
He didn't have money.
If you had a lot of money, you'd be fucked.
You had for
He'd be
a while.
All over the place.
And he was best known. He was the author of what a lot of people call the 20th century's most influential textbooks on occultism. And he founded a religion called Thelema.
Yeah, I struggled with how to say that. Thelma and Louise.
He started the Thelma and Louise religion, which is still practiced today.
He looks just like Uncle Fester.
Yeah, it kind of does.
Not kind of.
Yeah. Okay, he does.
He actually played Uncle Fester on Adam's Family.
Yeah, exactly, he looks exactly like him. So he was born England, October 12th, 1875.
Do we like English people?
Yeah.
Okay.
His father, Ed. I'm glad you took my word.
I just had to ask. Yeah. I didn't know.
His father was named Edward Crowley, and he was an engineer. And made money as an engineer, but his real money came from the fact that his family owned Crowley's Alton Ales and were brewmasters.
I was kind of curious, like, has someone like re-stolen that? Is like the
or is it still there? Like, I'm curious if that still
exists.
You could
probably make a fucking ton of money.
Yeah, like, going back to the Crowley Ales. But so his father had enough money from doing that he was able to retire. Basically live a life of luxury before his son was even born. So the family had some good old fashioned British money. His mother, Emily Bertha Bishop, again, was from a big family in England. But apparently she had a really rough relationship with her son, and she gave him the nickname The Beast, which was a nickname that he stuck with. Yeah. Like, he kept the nickname.
Or maybe he filled the shoes. Once she said that, you know what I mean? You wonder, like, was that fortuitous? Like, did he become what he was called? Like,
I suspect by the time your mother is calling you a beast, you're probably a little shit. Oh. He was probably just a spoiled ass little rich poncy British shit,
right?
Is my guess. You can quote me on that.
Was he poncy?
Poncy.
Yeah.
Ho ho ho.
So they were his parents were very religious. His father, I guess, was a traveling pastor since he had money and didn't have to work.
He was a court jester.
He would read a passage from the Bible every day after breakfast to the fucking mom and son. That would drive me fucking
not just
insane.
A passage, a whole fucking like book.
Ugh.
Yeah, like, that's why he created Thelma and Louise.
We get done with breakfast. Shit. It's time for fucking Corinthians.
What's funny like, though?
Fuck.
Yeah, what's funny though is Corinthians, the whole thing.
Exactly.
There's like Jesus Christ, Dad. But listening to the Bible being read to you probably led him to figure out, you know, hey, this doesn't make sense.
Well, while his dad was alive, he was on board. Like, he was passionate about the ministry type thing, the evangelical.
But just because you're on board doesn't mean you don't have questions.
Yeah. Sure. Well, later, after dad dies, he starts to just fucking pick shit apart. He starts, like, pointing out inaccuracies. And
probably because he was mad at God for taking his dad.
He's a smart kid, though. Yeah. He was smart.
Yeah. So at 11, his dad dies of tongue cancer. That must have fucking sucked.
Yeah.
Like, that had to just suck. Dying of tongue cancer in 1887 could not have been in any way pleasant.
I heard he French kissed a Russian lady. Yeah. That's what happened.
That's what you get from reading the Bible, I think.
She was from City 40.
Yeah.
City 1840. It was different.
But Crowley spoke fondly of his father, said it was his hero and his friend. Dehumanized.
Is he Gollum?
Yeah. Well, it is Uncle Fester.
Yeah,
and Cousin
right.
It.
That's right.
So maybe he was it.
But so Alistair ends up inheriting a third of his father's wealth once he dies of fucking tongue cancer. And he,
one third was weird too. What
was
the fuck?
He in Auschwitz?
I don't know.
Like mom gets a third, he gets a third. Where did the third go?
That was him.
That was him climbing the K2 mountain.
Yeah. It looks like he just got out of Auschwitz.
Sid. He looks like Sid right there.
Yeah. There's pictures of him on his mountain climb and he's all fucking crazy looking, fucking Rasputin style.
Yeah, he's got fucking Ethiopian legs.
Good. What was that? It's a cough. How come you turn into a cartoon dog?
Yeah, it's a cough that turned into a laugh from Ethiopian legs.
Well, yeah. Stop laughing and get to it. Sure.
Okay. So at this point, I read an article that said that early, like basically when he was like a young teen, he became fixated on women. And he lost his virginity to one of the family's maids.
He had a horrible...
Are you sure you're not talking about your crotch, Dave?
I'm not talking about my crotch.
You sure?
Dave wasn't even involved in that. It did it all by itself. Dave's crotch fucked the maid. Dave wasn't even home.
It separated itself from Dave.
Just like the saucer section.
Wow. That's crazy.
Somebody got that.
I concur.
I did.
He had sex with a maid on his mother's bed.
He did it to spite his mother. He had a really strained relationship with his mom. He did not get along with his mom's
bed.
So there was some sexual tension. And then she got fired.
Yeah, she got fired and she became a homeless drunk. And it's rumored, and I don't buy this rumor, I think it's just part of the Aleister Crowley mystique, but it's rumored that she became one of Jack the Ripper's victims.
Hmm. There's some shit where he brings Jack the Ripper up as well, and saying that he like met with Jack the Ripper before he died. He has an alleged person who he says is, and that Jack the Ripper gave him like 5 bloody pieces of cloth or something, from one from each of his victims. There's some crazy shit tied to him.
I don't think there was a Jack the Ripper.
No?
No, I think it's all just fucking fairy tale.
I don't know much about Jack the Ripper. We'll have to cover that sometime.
We will have to cover that sometime.
No, did you see the Barbara Bush connection?
No.
Just to completely throw us off the fucking rails?
No.
So at some point in time, that Barbara Bush's mom is Pauline Pierce. Yeah, Pauline Pierce. And apparently at some point in time, Crowley did something called, he went through something known
as... fuck Barbara Bush?
The Supreme Ordeal. No, he's too old.
Like, okay. He went through some passage of rite
called the Supreme Ordeal, in which there's 2 candidates which have to sexually exhaust you in every way. They have to sexually, like, they have arouse you to exhaustion. They have to fucking just, until you can't do it anymore. And allegedly, one of the people that was with him, in his diary, at least a half hour, Dave. Is there going to be snacks?
Yeah.
I'm exhausted.
I'm parched.
Man, there was no
Catering.
Anything
there vegan? No catering back then. Do you have anything vegan friendly here? This is horrible.
That's enough of that.
Yeah. It's enough of that. You got any chips?
Please stop blowing me. I'm exhausted.
I'm exhausted.
You have any goldfish?
It's only been 7 minutes. I know. I know.
I'm super tired.
I got a really big Netflix queue.
I got a hankering for some broccoli.
Really,
Brent's lost it. Yeah.
Brent lost it.
Oh my god.
So anyway, you were saying, Brent, Barbara Bush. And something about something.
He's really fucked up right now.
So they masturbate you to exhaustion. He's crying. He's crying.
No, I am too.
Let's just hug. I have not got that cracked up in a long time. So anyways, one of his alleged accomplices in this was Pauline Pierce, who is Barbara Bush's mom. Mm-hmm. And so this was like in France or something, one of his fucking crazy adventures. But she goes back to the States, and 8 months after this alleged occurrence, this is based off of entries in his diary.
Uh-oh.
8 months later, she has a baby.
Ooh.
Which is Barbara Bush.
Ooh.
And then Barbara Bush goes on to marry
things
George
just got
Sr.
Interesting.
So literally, Aleister Crowley could allegedly be
Barbara Bush's dad.
Barbara Bush's dad, George Bush's grandpa.
Fantastic. Wow. Like the story, like
that makes sense. It all makes sense.
The more I read about Aleister Crowley, I was like, is this entire thing fiction? Like, his story is so fucking bizarre, and there's so many weird connections.
There's spinoffs to Scientology and
shit. Oh, yeah, all kinds of shit.
There's all kinds of, God, I'm glad we don't have video today. I am fucking dying right now. Jesus Christ.
So he ends up in his college days, again, England, wealthy. He goes to Cambridge, and he's like,
where fucking, he may or may not be recruited by British intelligence.
Exactly,
at that
point they think
he may be a spy.
A lot of like really deep biographers who have like studied him in depth, like multiple biographers in multiple books, have said that they think British intelligence tapped him to be a spy. World War One was on the brink, and they needed people. And I mean,
it would explain his random travel all over the fucking world.
Yeah, it would. And I mean, that sounds strange, but it's like they would always get the elite, because the elite, like Europe is a fairly small community. So if you were in the elite in England, you knew the elite from Germany and from France and from Italy. Like you were in the same circles. Yeah. You knew these people.
Some guy not related to that wouldn't know anybody.
Right.
They'd be like, who the fuck
even
is this guy?
Like during World War II, the chef Julia Childs was actually recruited by British intelligence, and she was a spy.
That's
like,
crazy.
She was upper class. She was the whole thing. And that's who they would often recruit for their intelligence work. And so a lot of people think that he was recruited as early as Cambridge, but it's pretty indisputable that he was involved in intelligence work later on during World War I and World War II. Because his story, he's like fuck the beer guy, the most interesting man alive. It's fucking Aleister Crowley. This guy is fucking ridiculous. So he goes to Cambridge. He ends up studying philosophy, and then he gets into literature, and they allow him to basically major in American literature.
Which wasn't an available major.
It wasn't. It didn't exist.
They
like
made
anywhere.
It up.
Like there was nowhere that would say, yeah, you can major
they
in
made
American.
It up.
Yeah. It was in the early or the late 1800s. That just didn't fucking exist. But he was so smart, and he could dig deep enough into stuff that they were like, well, yeah, if he's doing it, we'll give him a pass.
He almost became a professional chess player at one point in time. Mm-hmm.
Like during college. Yeah. He almost dropped out of college because that's the level of his brightness. So also, and I read, and I didn't get any details, so it was kind of strange, but I read one thing that said that he had his first significant mystical experience while on holiday during college. It was when he was in Stockholm in December of 1896, and it was the result of Crowley's first same-sex sexual experience, which enabled him to recognize his bisexuality. And I don't know why that was a mystical experience.
Yeah, there wasn't any detail as to why that was.
Well, the first time you get a dick in your ass,
I guess that's
mystical.
Maybe it's mystical.
Makes you see God. Yeah,
maybe it is mystical. Yeah,
it's a mystical experience.
I know, but you said you're in a hurry earlier. How big of a hurry are you in, Brad? Because shit could get mystical if you just want
to
hang out.
I mean, if we're going to do it to exhaustion, it could be a while. Oh,
man. Solid 7 minutes.
But at Cambridge, he ends up again having a vigorous sex life with women. And apparently he's like up on the prostitutes.
All over the prostitutes. It said at one point here, smoking, masturbating, having sex, prostitutes, contracted gonorrhea. That was in his teens. Goes to Cambridge, has his mystical experience, and then gets fucking syphilis.
Nice.
Can you get rid of syphilis?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was like, yeah. Pills.
Last week.
Yep, did it. Gonorrhea and syphilis.
Not saying it's fun.
You could check those off.
Yeah.
And this, I mean, at the time in England, same-sex activity was completely illegal.
Yeah.
And he wasn't even fucking hiding it. He was just like fucking, but then again, he had money and he was of a certain class. So I guess he could kind of get away with it. So in 1897, he travels to St. Petersburg in Russia.
You skipped it. He got a boyfriend in the drama club, but that's fine.
That was who he had his mystical experience
with. Oh, that was him?
That was him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We could skip the gay.
But no, he did. He had a relationship with this
guy. I just like he was the president of the drama club.
He was president of the drama club. And they broke up. And apparently for years, like later on, like late in life, Crowley said that he regrets having broken up with him back in college.
Right.
You know, but so he travels in 1897 to St. Petersburg in Russia. and he's considering being like having a diplomatic career there, which again is one of the things that make a lot of the biographers think he was in intelligence, because that's a very intelligence kind of maneuver to make. And they think that he did so. He was only in St. Petersburg because he was spying on the Russians, right. Or what some people think. But he was such a world traveler all the time because he had so much money. He was, again, the perfect candidate to do that stuff.
It wasn't like fucking like 8 weeks at sea and shit to go do half the stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, in the 1890s, it was. Yeah. I mean, it was by rail. I mean, you would have taken a boat across the channel and taken the fucking.
Well, they had flying boats back then.
Flying boats. Yeah, that's true.
Had wings on them.
Yeah,
they fly.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, going to Russia, you would have gone by rail.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been the Orient Express, basically cutting.
Even
you
that
into
though, like I went.
It would have taken fucking
across
forever.
Europe, but it was like to go from France to Spain, like 19 fucking hours on a train.
It would have taken fucking forever.
It was mystical, though. I have to say, every minute of it.
So you got a dick in your ass?
Javier's magic wand.
Javier's
that's
magic
his problem.
Wand.
He spent this whole time searching the world for magic, and he found it in college.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It was the drama he was club. Just trying, the drama club's trying. Magic
never
wand
got any
mystical.
Better. Yeah. Never got any better.
You can never top it. Go back and find fucking.
Oh, he
Herbert,
could top
Herbert
it.
Charles.
Oh, he topped it.
He topped it.
He topped it a lot.
I heard he was a bottom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he's
he
all top the above until he's exhausted. So it, also in 1897. He ended up getting really sick, and he got sick a lot. Like when you read his history, he's like, oh, and this is when he caught that.
This is
and
part
this
of
is
the,
when he caught
yeah.
the other thing. And this is when he, and this wasn't a sexual sickness. He just got really sick.
Yeah. But it might have an effect on your immune system.
I'm sure it does.
I think that's our sickness. New album, Sexual Sickness.
Sexual
that's,
sickness.
It's going to be our new album.
That sounds like a fucking Marilyn Manson album or something.
Sexual
no, that's
sickness.
Straight up. That's like a straight up late 80s horrible yeah. like R&B album is yeah. what that is.
Sexual sickness.
I love it. Sexual sickness. Okay. So anyway, so he gets really sick and he abandons thoughts of a diplomatic career and he decides, like you do, that he should pursue the occult.
Well, it said it made him like examine his own mortality was right. basically what happened. So he started thinking maybe the occult, he could live forever if he figured out some magic.
Right.
You know?
So he starts to read books. Like,
turns into an Indiana Jones episode.
Yeah, like, kind of. Yeah. He starts to read books. He reads A.E. Waite's The Book of Black Magic and of Pacts.
Ooh.
Yeah. Carl von Eckerstausen's The Cloud Upon the Sanctuary.
Nice.
Nice, good occult
good read.
Tomes. Good
yeah.
read. Light read for the weekend. And he starts to pursue it pretty aggressively. And then in 1898, he gets initiated into the Order of the Golden Dawn. And again, that was where I thought his place was. I thought he was a Golden Dawn guy the whole time.
Oh, he was a Golden Dawn guy.
He was. And he wasn't in the Golden Dawn for very long. But again, the two biographers, Richard Spence and Tobias Churton, think that he only joined the Order of the Golden Dawn because he was a spy for the British Empire.
I think if you look up Golden Dawn right now, it's going to be a Golden Showers website. It's a fetish
is.
Site for sure.
We'll find
is.
Out.
Because there was a guy, the guy in charge of the Golden Dawn was a guy named Samuel Mathers, also named as Sam Shady.
No, the real Sam Shady, please yeah. stand up.
But so they wanted to investigate him. And again, they think that as a member of British intelligence, and again, maybe these two biographers are fucking quacks and they want to fit all of Aleister
Every
Crowley's
time
life.
It came up, it was those guys.
It yeah. is those. But again, these are kind of tangential. I don't know if I believe that they're involved in intelligence, but eventually when World War I and World War II come around, flat out, he's involved in intelligence. There's
I don't
no
know what the Golden Dawn
it.
Is, but it looks racist as fuck.
Probably.
Like people throwing
they're,
Nazi
the
hands.
Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, their slogan is Outer Order of the Rosicrucian. What's that say?
Rosicrucian?
Rosicrucian Mystery School of the Alpha and Omega.
Word.
It's kind of weird. Is it a Rosicrucian school?
Is it an offshoot of the Rosicrucians?
I guess
I think
so.
It is.
Yeah,
is the
I
Golden Dawn
is,
the Rosicrucians?
Yeah. I think so.
I think it is.
Yeah, Rosicrucian, yeah.
We need to do an episode on the Rosicrucians.
That actually looks very Russian, though.
It does look Russian. Very strange. Anyway, so he joins the Rosicrucians. He ends up having...
Yeah, I guess he is in the Rosicrucians.
or the Golden Dawn,
yeah,
the rosy croutons. He ends up buying a big like luxury apartment in London, mm-hmm. and he invites senior Golden Dawn member Alan Bennett to live with him
for
and
a mystical
his,
time
to be his personal magic tutor.
Ooh. That was kind of weird.
Yeah, well.
I watched a documentary where it was like dramatized, where they had the people speaking on behalf of whatever the diary entries were, and it was like reenacted. It's fucking weird. It all seemed, I don't know, that dude was, they were doing stuff together for
oh,
sure.
Oh, they were for yeah. sure. I mean, they started practicing ceremonial magic, the ritual use of drugs, and they performed rituals.
Yeah, with their wands.
Probably because he gets, and I didn't know this, he got expelled from the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn because of his deviant homosexual behavior.
Right.
And a lot of the people that look into it think that homosexual behavior was very common in the Golden Dawn, but everyone kept it very sort of like British secret, like we don't discuss it, like yeah. one does not discuss what happens yeah. in the Golden Dawn, but he just fucking let his freak flag fly and didn't care, and so he got kicked out because he was publicly homosexual, and he gets expelled from the Golden Dawn.
Yeah, it said he was unpopular for bisexuality, libertine lifestyle, and he had feuds with some of the other members.
We can join the Golden Dawn. It is available to us.
It is the same group, like, though. I found it right here. It is the same, like, group. They just have a gangster flag.
It's like six
cool.
blocks from here.
Really?
Like, there's an apply building like six
yeah,
blocks from
there's
here.
An apply now button on their website.
It's a fucking dope building. I've almost yeah. gone. They have meetings every Tuesday. I've almost gone to a couple. The reason I didn't go is you can't be a Mason and a Rosicrucian.
Yeah, they're two different
he
things.
He was, though.
So,
he held like Masonic titles. Aleister Crowley did.
Well, I know right now you
it's kind of it is Masonic. It is Masonic. You have $144 a year you have to pay.
Weird. That's the whole
Masons thing. You have to pay too.
Yeah, you do. That's unless you can't, then somebody else does.
Just the yeah. 144 thing coming up. Yeah, kind of yeah. weird.
So he ends up roughly the same era again, just traveling all over the fucking place. I mean, it's just a shopping list of then he went here, then he went there, then he met this guy, then he went there, then he went
did,
to this
did
country.
Did you see what happened though
country.
When they kind of when he teamed up with that guy and they kind of outcast him? They attempted to go seize the vault of another fucking place.
No,
and they had to go to court.
Another Rosicrucian place.
Yeah, it says they attempted to seize the vault of the Adepts, a temple space on Blythe Road in Kensington, from London Lodge members. Like, they tried to go overtake it.
Fucking Adepts.
But then they had to go to court, and the court ruled that the other place paid rent, so they get to keep it.
It's like a really boring Harry Potter novel.
It just sounded very
like
petty.
We're going to raid the vault of the Adepts.
And then they got there.
However, we can't because they've paid their rent.
Exactly. That was exactly my thought. It's like, what I was the like, fuck? But it's my mom's basement. That's what it felt like. Yeah. Dang it, we have to go. He's right.
It sounds really cool.
Can we at least stay and have pizza rolls, though? Smells like pizza rolls. Your mom make pizza
Totino's?
Rolls? Yeah. Yeah.
So, very strange. And then the next big thing that I read in his life was his marriage. Was there anything before that that you wanted to cover?
Marriage? Mexico.
He gets married in 1903.
He went to Mexico City for a little while and took on a local lady for a mistress.
Yep.
And they think that he went to Mexico for oil prospects. Brief affair with a married woman, and he wrote like a poem about it. Some woman named
he wrote
Alice.
Poems about all kinds yeah. of shit.
No, I think it's a
Mary Alice Rogers.
Yes,
right. Man.
Nope. Other than stopping in Japan, Hong Kong, Burma, Mexico, all
yeah, exactly,
along the way,
exactly.
Trying to become a Buddhist monk. Yeah.
So he ends up marrying a woman named Rose Edith Kelly in 1903, and it's in order to keep her from having to go through with an arranged marriage. Like, there's like they just get married because they know each other. She's about to have to marry somebody, and Alistair's like, "Oh, just fucking
open her
me.
Out."
Don't
yeah, I want to fuck dudes yeah, anyway.
Exactly. He wants to fuck everybody.
Yeah, you know, I want the like, magical stick. I want the magic stick.
Him trying to climb K2.
Yeah, I wasn't sure when he did that.
Yeah, I think it's before getting married.
It was between 1900 and 1903.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he ended up with influenza and malaria.
He looks like it.
Dude, he gets sick.
He looks like it. He's got the Ethiopian legs. That's
the only thing keeping him alive is fucking magic sex.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Yeah, him and 50 Cent would have been good partners.
He just ejaculates the poison out. That's what happens.
And all through a lot of this stuff, like he thrives on like...
That's why we have a bunch of women listeners, because all we do is talk about dicks.
Might be.
That's a secret.
But he thrives on like exile communities. Like if there's a place where expatriates have left one country to go to another big city, that's where he found himself.
I'm impressed with his,
so like Mexico City, a lot of people were in Mexico City that were like running from the Bolsheviks and all this. And that's what attracted him there. And, you know, skipping ahead, but like in the 1920s, New York during World War One, the Paris in the 1920s, Berlin in the 1930s, like he would gravitate towards cities where like exiles and poets and bohemians were, and that was always his scene.
Like, just think about if you just showed up in a city, like you just show up in Paris, and like how do you find the occultists? Like you like take me to your fucking leader. Like even now, like if you landed in a fucking
Have you watched 8mm?
No.
You never watched the movie 8mm, Nicolas Cage?
I've seen isn't it like smut films or some shit?
Yeah, but you gotta go underground and find that shit and find the real shit.
I'm just saying back in the day with lack of technology, this motherfucker's on a boat and he shows up and finds the guys in charge of the shit.
I thought about it.
Well, the thing is, though, they're going to have, like, the Rosicrucians are going to have a temple with a symbol on the window. Yeah. Like, the Golden Dawn, they probably have a fucking handshake. Or, I mean, you're going to meet people in certain circles, and you're going to be like, oh, this guy's a fucking Mason.
They wag hands. Like, they don't shake
exactly. It's the British way.
He got 117 incorrect handshakes on his way there. Yeah. He's like, nope, right. nope. That guy's gay. nope.
We're going to fuck later.
He's strong.
So
big hands.
In 1904, for his, I guess, honeymoon, he and his wife go to Egypt.
Yep.
And this is where he gets a little bit kookier.
I think he got jealous of her because it seemed like she was getting a message. She kept like repeating, "They're waiting for you."
Right.
And he was like, "Bullshit. I've been studying the fucking occultism thing, all this stuff. How is she, who has nothing to do? She knows no history of Egypt or Cairo or anything. She doesn't know anything about any of his crazy magic. And they're giving her the fucking message."
So they check into a hotel in Cairo. They claim that they're a prince and princess. I don't know from what country.
Right.
They set up a temple room and begin invoking.
They rented an apartment. Like they went to fucking Cairo, rented an apartment, set up a temple room. Yeah.
They began invoking ancient Egyptian deities.
That's a like you do, Dave.
That is a like you do. And they study Islamic mysticism and Arabic. And then, like you said, Rose would fall into these like delirious fits and say, "They're waiting for you." And they were the ancient gods like Horus.
Right.
And so she kept claiming she was getting messages from the gods that
finally he says who, and she says, "I'll show you," or something. Runs him into the museum past multiple exhibits that she's never been to, allegedly, right, all the way up to an exhibit, and says, "That's the one." And then when he looks at the exhibit plaque, it's exhibit 666,
right,
coincidentally,
and it's the steel of Ankh FN Khonsu.
Yeah.
If that, so there, that's what that is. I don't
know if that ever becomes relevant.
No, yeah. I don't think so either. But shortly after this,
He one-ups her,
and a being named Awass, A-I-W-A-S-S, starts to speak to him.
That's a rapper name for sure.
Awass.
Awass.
So Awass starts to speak to him, and Awass dictates to him, if you know what I mean, the book of the law.
For three days.
So this somewhat guardian angel-esque ancient Egyptian spirit, some weird
slash
shit.
Slash rapper.
Starts dictating this book to him. A disembodied voice. April 8th, 1903. He actually has the specific date written down. And for 3 days, he tells him, and it's called Liber El Veligis, or the Book of Law. And the book claims that humanity is entering a new eon. Crowley would serve as its prophet, like you do, of course, you know.
When you're writing the book.
Right. It states that supreme moral law was, quote, "Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law."
And there's
what
like the famous celebrities so do that wear want? That shit on shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do what thou wilt. Like, it doesn't mean quite what I first thought when I read deeper. It doesn't mean go do whatever the fuck you want to do. It means you, like, we all have an inner will that manifests in a particular way, and that we have
carry
to
out
focus,
your will, basically
your destiny, your whatever, and that's kind of what the message is.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So this becomes the cornerstone of his religion-y, Thelma and Louise, the Thelema religion. And the thing that's weird about it, okay, so he gets this message from this being, he's the big prophet, all this stuff, right?
What is that? Oh, sorry, that's my phone.
Oh, sorry. He gets this.
Brad is pointing at everyone. Fucking
I was like, your phone was out.
So he gets this message from this book, and instead of him like doubling down and being like, oh yeah, the gods talked to me and gave me this message, he like resents it.
Yeah, he was supposed to like lock down and have it translated into every language, apparently, according to the instructions, so all the languages of the world.
He was supposed to steal that thing that he saw at the museum.
Right.
Like, according to the book, you're supposed to break in and steal this thing from the museum. You're supposed to have the Book of the Law translated into every single language on Earth. You're supposed to fortify your own island that you're that all the worshipers of Thelma and Louise will be able to land on. And he's basically just like, nah.
He was about to start a cult compound. Like, that's what that sounds like.
That's fucking weird. Like, so he writes down his own religious cult dominating bylaws and then promptly ignores them and says, that fuck that shit.
Yep.
I'm not doing that. So that's kind of a weird misstep for
an occult
leader.
He sent them off to some other occult places, though.
Yeah, he sent a copy of the book to every occultist he knew, and that was as far as he went. He didn't translate it.
He just wanted a peer review before he went. Basically. He didn't want to go big. He just wanted to make sure he got a good peer review. Little red pen, spell check, make sure everything was cool.
So then he starts his first religious group, and I don't even know what to call it. The A triangle thingy, A triangle thingy. Like, I don't even fucking know what it is, but he started it in 1907. It was a spiritual organization. It's an A, capital A, with three dots in
my crazy life.
In a triangle.
My crazy life.
Yeah.
I just kept thinking over that.
It's an A with three dots in a triangle, and then another capital A with three dots in a triangle. And that's the name of this first organization. And it studies like Theravada Buddhism and Vedantic yoga and ceremonial magic. And it's sort of like his first attempt at starting this group, starting a cult. It's before the Thelma and Louise religion. But he gets it started. There's this group that paid dues and so forth. And, so at this point, he's building up his cult, and he keeps traveling, like
he
travels.
He skipped him having his first child.
I'm skipping all kinds of
shit. I know,
shit.
But there's just this one little
go
spot.
Go for it. Throw it in. Throw it in, because this would be a fucking 5-hour episode capture everything from Crowley.
July 28th, 1905, his wife has their first child, a daughter. But what I thought was so weird is that it said he wrote a pornographic Snowdrops from Curati's garden to entertain his recuperating wife. He wrote her a porno story to help her recuperate from the pregnancy.
Wow.
That's what you do.
That's kind of fucking weird, yeah.
You didn't do that when you had kids?
Maybe that's where I fucked up.
Yeah, you should have written that porno.
Yeah.
We already have the name. It's the Golden Dawn.
So anyways, he has a kid, because it matters later, because then the kid fucking dies. Spoiler alert. From him traveling all over the fucking world, he gets sick, like,
again,
and then dies
taken after
gone.
His father.
Yeah. Wow.
And then he has a second child and names it after the actress that he's banging, Lola. Like, he's banging an actress named Lola while his wife has the child, and then they name it Lola.
And then the porn story was just a film of him fucking the actress.
Right.
Yeah.
No, this guy's fucking life. Ridiculousness, just sheer endless ridiculousness. Like, we're just covering the highlights. Like, everything that, like, when we skip ahead 3 years, it was 3 years of him having sex with loads of people and doing weird shit in strange countries. Loads. Like, just loads. Like, yeah, lots of loads. So from during World War I, he ends up going to New York. And in New York, he's burned through most of his money. Like, his family fortune by this point is gone. He's living by starting to sell his properties because he's purchased multiple properties all over the place.
And he starts writing for Vanity Fair. How old is that fucking magazine?
Old. And he's getting money from his weird A triangle fucking cult. Somebody out there is pissed off because they know the name of it and we don't. But so he's getting money from them. He's getting money from stuff that he's selling. So he's not rich anymore. But in the city, he's now experimenting with sex magic through the use of masturbation, female prostitutes, and male clients of a Turkish bathhouse.
Fucking party, man.
And all of them are written up in his diaries. And during this time, he meets a German spy in 1915 named George Sylvester Viereck, who employs him to write propaganda for a newspaper called The Fatherland. And the goal of it is to keep the U.S. neutral and to keep the U.S. popular consensus that they shouldn't enter World War One. So that's the goal of this newspaper that a German spy is running in America. And he's writing for Vanity Fair. He starts writing for them. And this gets weird because when he returns to Britain a little bit later, they fucking hate on him because he was writing this stuff to delay America's entry into the war. But a lot of people even later on say it was more sophisticated than that. And the stuff he was writing was actually lampooning the Germans and making them look like idiots and stooges, so that he was kind of being a subversive double agent. And this Fatherland magazine, he was writing it to make the Germans look like oafs instead of writing it to make America stay neutral. So it's kind of weird.
I have three quick facts that we skipped that are just notable.
Okay.
You know, he's like a crazy mountain climber, mountaineer guy. Well, mm-hmm. he led an expedition to in the Himalayas to fucking Jumanji here. I can't say that fucking word. But he's trying to climb the fucking mountain, and there's a mutiny against him. The other mountaineers try to take off, and he warns them, hey, it's fucking dangerous. You should listen to me or whatever. If you don't want to be with me, fucking whatever. They fucking get caught in an avalanche. And he can hear them screaming, and he just stayed in his tent and drank tea and let them all fucking die. And so he got like basically outcast from the mountain climbing community. So no more, because he can't be trusted. Like, you're supposed to look out for your own, regardless if you're in a fucking fight yesterday. They're buried in fucking snow and dying, and he just fucking let it happen.
Damn.
So he gets KO'd from that shit.
Fucking Donner Party.
The other thing to note was his daughter did die of typhoid in Rangoon. And there's one more fucking thing we skipped. Banging Lola. I think that's it. But yeah, daughter dies. That's important. And that he let those fucking climbers die.
So the AA stands for Alcoholics Anonymous.
Oh, yes. That's what it was. He fucking shot a man dead in Calcutta and had to flee Calcutta because he shot a guy that tried to mug him and killed him. So he did kill someone at one point in time in Calcutta around 1905 or something.
This guy's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the AA, ridiculous. The AA stands for Argentium Astrum. That's what the AA stands for. Okay. So I think it's just AA.
That sounds like icy hot lube. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you blow on it, it gets cold.
Fits.
And he starts training students in the occult for money too.
He gives and this is, this is where he starts doing that a lot. So when he returns to London in 1919, he's hated on because of the stuff that he did with that magazine with the Germans, et cetera. But he starts suffering from asthma, and like a doctor would in 1919, if you had asthma, what's the go-to medicine?
Whiskey.
Heroin.
Heroin, that's right.
Duh.
Opium.
Asthma.
Heroin. Yeah.
You know,
asthma.
Asthma. So you get heroin. So he starts doing heroin, and this is where his fucking heroin addiction starts. And in January of 1920, he ends up moving to Paris and renting a house. And this is where he starts to have his weird cult group starts. This is really when the Thelma and Louise religion
begins. So he started the furries at this point.
Yes, he starts the furries. And he starts.
There's one thing you got. I know. I'm sorry. I keep
Don't be fucking. I'm skipping over massive chunks of weirdness.
He starts putting on plays, like producing plays, and he gives the audience members tea with peyote so that they'll enjoy the fucking show.
Yeah, because it's such a shitty.
And it gets raving reviews, I guess, on the.
I guess.
I hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, even the fucking reporters and journalists, I guess, are high on peyote. So
that makes sense.
So the question is, did they know they were high on peyote?
Probably not.
It seemed like it was part of the deal. I mean, at that point in time, there wasn't any like fucking drug drug bans, you could get whatever you want if you had the money to buy it. You know what I mean? You could get heroin.
Right.
The fucking dentist and shit's giving you fucking heroin. You know? So peyote.
Right.
You just had to go talk to Jaw. Yeah. 99 scouts. He will give you the peyote.
The missed call.
Throwback.
I'm not 100% certain what the beliefs of Thelema are. I did my best to look into it. So he believed that the 20th century was the beginning of humanity's entry into the Aeon of Horus, and it would be a new era in which humans would take increasing control of their destiny, right? So this is part of his belief structure.
Horus is going to land in a flying saucer tomorrow. We're all, fuck.
God damn it. Is that Horus?
Damn it. It's one of those dog head things.
Fucking Horus. Yeah.
So he believed that we're leaving the Aeon of Osiris, which was paternalistic religions like Christianity, Islam, and Buddhism dominating the world, and that the new Aeon...
So he's on to something.
Yeah. The new Aeon would be materialistic and dominated by goddess worship.
Oh,
I don't know.
Everybody's gonna love Beyonce and want that dress,
right?
I think he's onto something.
Yeah, he might be close.
So again, it believes that every human has their own true will that they need to discover and they need to pursue it, and it exists in harmony with a cosmic will that pervades the universe. And this is what they believe, and part of also what they believe is in magic. And he got all frisky and spelled magic with a K at the end.
Ooh,
yeah. See,
so M-A-G-I-C-K. Yeah, the magic back door was his last film.
I think it was. So his magic, he tried to look at, like, his idea. He honestly believed in magic, according to everything. Like, he believed in this force. But he thought that there was religion, there was science, and there was magic. And he thought it was like a third branch. And he thought that magic was the ability to tap into powers and beings that belied science but weren't quite religion. Like, it was this third force that wasn't either of them.
Man, cell phone calls and Wi-Fi are fucking magic, honestly. You know what I mean? Especially at that point in time. Like, hey, you want to see me talk to a guy on the other side of the world?
Right.
Yeah.
So the other thing is, this ties into his sex magic. And sexuality plays an important role in his ideas of magic and how he practices
in any cult,
it seems to be. He outlined three forms of sex magic: the autoerotic, the homosexual, and the heterosexual.
Fucking girls, guys are jerking off.
Right.
That's, yeah.
He argues that such acts could be used to focus the magician's will onto a specific goal, such as financial gain or creative success.
So I'm going to masturbate until somebody gives me money.
Fuck my way to wealth.
Yeah.
I won't name any names, but one of my friends told me this crazy fucking story the other day, and I didn't realize he's talking about this.
No. What's his name?
I'm not saying his name. He said that he wanted something really bad, and that he took...
Oh, you told me about
don't
this.
Don't say the name, please.
I don't know. I don't remember the name.
He said, so whatever the thing is you want. So say that you wanted to fucking, I don't know, eat healthy or something. You want health.
Okay.
He said you like take the word and remove all the repetitive consonants or vowels or some shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you take that and make a magic symbol that you have to fucking make up and draw yourself.
Oh, wait, I remember who this is.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't say please. And then you put the fucking letters in the symbol, and then you focus on it and you think about your goal that you want, and then you jerk off staring at that symbol every single fucking morning. And this dude I know did this shit, right? And then he said he got what he wanted like 5 days later.
Well, yeah,
pure fucking Crowley.
Yeah.
You know
pure
what though, like
Crowley right there, baby.
I don't think you have, that's a lot of effort. I think if you just set your mind on something, you can make it happen.
Because the fact of the matter is, if you set your mind on something, you're still going to masturbate in the middle anyway.
Yeah. And the thing is, it was just...
you're thinking about it, masturbating.
And the big thing is, it was just croissant Hot Pockets, and they were just out of stock at the grocery store.
They finally got them back in stock.
They get shipments on Friday.
Actually could have went to a different store.
And he was going to jerk off anyway.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he was going to jerk off with the Hot Pocket.
Yeah.
Ooh. Feels just like a cantaloupe.
So this is where
the real cantaloupe.
Like a real cantaloupe.
I wanted to learn a little bit more about the sex magic, and he believed that sex was a sacrament.
Mm-hmm.
He believed that the consumption of sexual fluids was the equivalent of the Eucharist. So like,
you ever had a cum burger?
Eucharist. That's how you say that. I just scratched it out and wrote communion.
I thought I said ukulele.
Yeah. So you like eating like the flesh of Jesus Christ is the same as getting jizz in your mouth.
Did you guys ever go to church when you were little? You go to church when you're little, Dave?
Yeah.
Did you do the communion thing?
Yeah.
Like, eat the cracker and
wine? It was a Catholic church.
I've done it.
I never went to a Catholic church. We did that. It wasn't a Catholic
cracker,
church.
Cracker. Yeah. No, I went to non-denominational.
Did they ever use a little fucking Ritz cracker?
No, I used like a wafer.
It was a wafer?
Yeah.
I'm losing this argument. What happened in my church? I don't want to say. I ate Ritz crackers and drank grape juice.
I maybe have had it,
maybe it was a kid thing. It was like when you were a kid, they were just programming you early with Ritz crackers and grape juice to
maybe.
Be
yeah, it's
to
the
be
body, the
and
body and the
like,
blood. No, it's the body and the blood of Christ.
That's only supposed to happen.
It was the Church of Nabisco.
Yeah,
they were just trying to program you.
I'm glad I wasn't at the Crowley Church. No one came in my mouth.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. So
that
so
was until later.
The ultimate manifestation of the sexual magic was what, and I wish I was making this up, was what he called cakes of light.
Oh,
right.
Cakes
and
of light.
Cake of light.
The ingredients is where I'm at. Yeah.
Was a biscuit, which I think means cookie.
Cookie. Uh-huh. We're British. Yeah.
So we've got a cookie which contains either menstrual blood or a mixture of semen and vaginal fluids.
Ooh. I like all three.
Okay.
The blood swirl on top like strawberry.
If you had to pick one, if you had to pick one, which one do you pick?
I'd go big. I'm going all the way.
You're going jizz? Are you going all three?
Well, really, there's only two options. It's either menstrual blood or it's a mixture of semen and vaginal
strawberry
fluids.
Strawberry swirls on top, homie.
You're going for the strawberry swirls?
Oh.
Because I could think about
well, he likes the taste of cum.
Yeah.
I have to say I would have to decline because I'm vegan.
No.
You said
you
animals.
Can't.
You said people are fuckers. You would eat a person, you said. No animals are being harmed in this process.
If I was starving to death, I would eat a person.
In this scenario, you're starving to death. Whose cock do you suck?
If I was starving to death, I'd eat any of the above biscuits. You give me a biscuit, I'm going to fucking eat it.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I just need something to wash it down with. So.
Well, he's got that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is part of his sexual magic is cum cakes and...
You ever eat a whisker biscuit?
I believe this is a whisker biscuit.
It's like a Pepperidge Farm cookie.
Speaking of Dave's crotch.
What you have here is a whisker biscuit.
Dave's go to.
Oh, man.
That's my Pepperidge Farm.
Did you see that he sent anti-Christmas cards to friends and family?
Yeah, this gets into this. So everyone describes him as like, because the thing is, like, people equate him with Satanism and like the Church of Satan. And I think there's nothing.
They
like
put
he was anti. Yeah. He was anti-religion.
Right. He was.
And
anti,
that includes Satanism because
and
that
he,
would be a religion.
Yeah, exactly. And people misquote him like he was being a wise ass and he was talking about human sacrifice. And he said, quote, a male child of perfect innocence and high intelligence is the most satisfactory victim. And he says that he had sacrificed about 150 every year. And that was actually a reference to his ejaculations.
Right. Spilling seed.
Like, that was his human sacrifice was spilling seed, which based on his rap sheet, I'm thinking he had more than 150 a year.
150 is only like every
like, yeah,
day.
One that doesn't feel very Crowley to me.
Uh-uh,
like
he, not
like his numbers.
Anyway.
Exactly. Then again, if he was at it for like, 8 hours a pop, then it might be 150.
Tantric sting status.
So he ends up building this place called the Abbey, and this is where he starts to train people. And what a surprise! He attracts a lot of young rich people because they can show up and watch or participate in magic all day long, which is to say, just have a lot of sex.
Yeah, magic. Orgies.
So they end up going to an abbey in Paris where they just screw all day, and that's
so
pretty
you're
much
exhausted.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much.
You do have to eat that whisker biscuit at the end.
You did have to at some point. He had to.
Just
maybe
that,
not though.
Take
maybe
the facial.
He was just watching.
I want to eat it first. I just want to get it over with.
It's good for your complexion. Yeah.
So. Everybody was fine with it, and then at some point, an Oxford undergraduate student died at the Abbey from drinking local water, against Crawley's advice, which is very strange.
I told him not to do it.
I told him not to drink
seemed
the
like
fucking
a nice
water.
Guy.
Yeah.
Well, that's like when you go to Mexico. Yeah. Don't drink the water, motherfucker.
So he dies, and the press, like, jumps all over him. They call him the wickedest man in the world, a man we'd like to hang. And guess what? In the pursuit of all things famous, the fact that everybody hated him made him even more famous and attracted even more people to want to go to the Abbey right. and practice sex magic. And it really kind of put him on the map.
Did he die over time from local water? Did he drown? And they're like, yeah, he drank a lot.
I have no like with fucking his idea. Lungs. I didn't get any. There must have been some
they
kind
probably
of bacteria.
Killed him.
There must have been something in the water.
Or they killed fucking, him.
Or they killed him. They had sex with him today.
Yeah.
So
they needed to fuck somebody dead.
He ends up at the Abbey until roughly World War II. And when World War II breaks out, he ends up going back to London. And he writes to Naval Intelligence and offers his services, but they decline. But the thing is, there's a lot of weird stuff that goes on. So one thing is, there's a lot of claims, again, from biographers, from some of the stuff that's in some of Crowley's own journals, that the V for victory symbol that Churchill made popular, they say that Crowley came up with it for British intelligence as a symbol to counteract a symbol. So the V sign was a symbol to counteract the Nazi magic of the swastika. And this is one of the claims that is out there. I don't necessarily buy that, but that's something that people throw out there as part of the Crowley mystique. Did you see anything about that stuff?
I heard it stood for vagina. Specifically Barbara's bush.
Oh wow, I just got an Amber Alert.
Yeah, I got two today. People are getting kidnapped like a motherfucker.
Porterville, California.
Yeah, I got one from LA.
White SUV, broken rear window, covered in white tape.
Somebody liked my tweet. I don't have anything about that. Why is it, did I opt out of Amber Alerts?
I don't know.
Maybe. I'm opted out of them too.
I still
get them.
Anyway.
Back to the episode.
So he wrote a French propaganda poem called La Galoise that the president of France ended up playing on radio stations and BBC
radio. I just think this guy was bored. He was just
fucking all over
whatever
the place.
The fuck he
but here, but
to
here
do.
Was the thing that I thought was the trippiest and the thing that tripped me out on it is Ian Fleming, who is the author of the James Bond novels. He was a member of British intelligence.
Right.
Like his James Bond, like his job for British intelligence, one of his jobs was to come up with what would make the perfect intelligence operative. And his recipe was an orphan, an alcoholic, a womanizer. Like the best people they had in the field were orphans, womanizers, alcoholics, prone to violence. He just noticed our best people, this is what they are. And at the end of the day, that's what he made James Bond, because this is what the best intelligence operatives actually were. So he was pretty deep in British intelligence and he knew Crowley. And one of the things that he would do, because Crowley knew so many people, they claim that that Ian Fleming gave bad information to Crowley to get Crowley to give it to Rudolf Hess in the Nazi organization, and that Crowley's information is actually what led to Hess's capture as the war was ending, because he knew these people.
Can't someone declassify some fucking shit so we can get out of this? Enough
but
time
he
has
even,
passed.
He even said, like, basically the villain in the novel Casino Royale is based on Aleister Crowley. Like Ian Fleming took his character traits, his appearance, his everything, and that was what he made the villain in Casino Royale. So there are definite intelligence connections in World War I and in World War II. So when the biographers are looking at him in Cambridge way earlier and him going to Russia and saying there's intelligence stuff, it's not surprising because it all goes through. And there's a whole book called Secret Agent 666 by a guy named Richard Spence, which talks just about Richard Crowley's intelligence connections and all this stuff. So this guy, fucking international man of mystery, like sex magician.
Yeah, and what was he really doing? Because if he was involved with intelligence, like all this shit's
is
like
the
front.
Whole thing a front.
Yeah,
like, and I mean, he was even so popular, like the like in the really famous Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Heart Club's band cover. He's like one of the people on the cover.
Yeah,
because the Beatles even like used.
There's supposed
some,
to be
like,
a bunch of shit on that
shit.
Cover. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. But so in 1947, Crowley ends up dying. Of chronic
in Roswell, New Mexico.
That's right. Of chronic bronchitis aggravated by pleurisy and mitochondrial degeneration and heroin.
Yeah.
At the age of 72, pretty much poor.
Well, he's probably taking heroin to stop the pain.
Exactly. You know? So he's broke. He's addicted to heroin and he dies of bronchitis. And I don't like just I'm blown away by the life of Aleister Crowley.
Yeah.
Like and we've skipped you know, over a million countries and sexual affairs and revolutions and all kinds of shit that this guy stuck his
And then he dies like the Nikola Tesla death. Yeah. Like fucking just
fucking lived hard and fast, dude.
Yeah. Alone, shitty and broke, you know.
But he died at 72. That's quite a fucking ride this guy had. I mean, and the religion is still there. Like the people still practice the religion all around the world. It's all part of it. But yeah, Aleister Crowley, quite a character. My knowledge of him ended at the Golden Dawn, and that was just at the beginning.
Yeah, like, that was the tip.
That was before the Sex Biscuits and all
the Sex Biscuits.
That was before all the rest of it. Yeah,
I even saw something crazy. Nathan Crowley was the set designer and cousin somehow to Aleister Crowley, and he was a set designer for Dark Knight Rises, and apparently, like crazy conspiracy theorists try to tie in the fact that I guess in Dark Knight Rises on a map Sandy Hook, like right before Sandy Hook happened, was on the map in Dark Knight Rises, and then they tie that to Nathan Crowley, who is related to Aleister Crowley. Like these people get fucking super 7 degrees of Kevin Crazy Bacon,
right?
Yeah.
Kevin and
Crazy. So, I don't
Kevin
know what,
Bacon Cakes.
I don't know what the magic was at the end of the day, but
it was sex.
But he was supposed to be very. I mean, and the thing is, you look at the picture of this fucking guy, and you were like, "You were going around having that much sex? You are an ugly, weird, scary looking."
Yeah, but the pictures of who he was fucking, you don't see.
Oh,
so.
That's true. That's true.
Could be Wanda. She's 500 pounds. So,
if anyone gets close enough to fucking the Bush family, someone like pull a fucking hair out of someone's head, or if we can somehow
we
get
do
DNA
tests. Yeah.
Yeah, because Alistair's DNA is everywhere, apparently.
Yeah, apparently so.
Yeah, 150 sacrifices.
You can just go back to his old apartment, find a bunch of biscuits, and you got his DNA.
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah.
Gross.
Nice. They're still frozen.
So I don't know, man. Weird. Not at all what I expected. I was waiting for lots of Satanism and lots more magic, a lot less sex and intelligence, like gathering, like very strange character, like world class, one of a kind individual. Very strange.
And with the way the world is now, like there's nobody ever going to be like this again.
Yeah, I don't see how you fucking could.
You couldn't.
Like Richard Branson could maybe come close. Like I don't know. Like,
if he started a sex magic cult. Yeah. We're going to do space sex in my new cult.
Even if you try right now, it doesn't mean you're going to convince anyone to do any of that shit.
I bet Justin Timberlake could do it.
Maybe. Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good thing I have his voice. I'm starting right now.
You don't really. I don't know
if
where
anybody on earth
from.
Could do it. It's Justin Timberlake.
Yeah. I don't think I sound like Justin Timberlake.
You don't.
Yeah.
You kind of did right there. Kind of girly.
Yeah, kind of girly.
Yeah.
But sexy at the same time?
No.
No? Damn. All right. Well, speaking of sexy,
he's a sexy motherfucker.
And Justin Timberlake, I heard he loves El Yucateco hot sauce.
I know he does.
And that's our primary sponsor.
He contacted us and was actually happy.
Yeah. So if you also love Timberlake and hot sauce, you should check out El Yucateco. Yeah. You can go to their website. You can buy stuff from them there. You can get it at most major grocery chains.
Yeah.
You can get it at the
Bonds. And Tyrone's in the hospital. If you order from El Yucateco, they're giving a percentage of their proceeds to help Tyrone and his family.
Yeah. That is not real. Just
he's in our He's
That's
in our
problem.
Thoughts.
Why?
He's in our thoughts.
You're just...
just worried about litigation, Brad, okay?
About what?
Litigation.
About what?
Tyrone's false funds from the non-existent El Yucateco fund. That
they're just buying El Yucateco.
Right.
There's no fund. I didn't say there was a fund.
You said they were going to give part of their proceeds away to Tyrone.
I said that.
Tyrone,
yeah.
Right.
I said to help his family.
That's not really happening, though.
You sure?
Yes.
How do you know?
Positive.
You don't know.
I know Tyrone.
You don't know that.
I knew him back since Colombian fucking bow tie.
No.
Yeah, I have actually.
From back in the day?
Mm-hmm.
No.
I do.
No.
I like that Brent's worried about litigation about money being funneled to a fictional character.
Yeah.
Hey, don't you
say Mr. fucking
mind, you shut Mr. your
fucking,
mouth right now,
Mr. fucking fun blocker over here. Like, hey guys, let me tell you this joke. No, that wasn't real.
Yeah.
Guys. Make up some stories.
What do you want from me, sir?
Nothing.
What
do you want? I'm about to end this. I gotta go.
I know. Let me finish the sponsors and quit making dumb fucking donations to Tyrone.
I was trying to just
fucking finish.
He was just trying to help Tyrone.
Yeah, I was trying to. Yeah, I was just trying to do some stuff here, but whatever. I'm not gonna go along with it. All right. Mr. Fucking pouty pants.
I have to make sure. There's a line, Brad, and that was the line.
There's
okay?
No line.
I'm sorry.
It's hey, so talk about El Yucateco. Sorry, I won't mention their name again.
Okay. Yeah, we will.
I won't.
We're gonna El Yucateco fight right now.
Shitty ass hot sauce. Stuff sucks.
Wow, that was the end of it right there. Thank you to PrintDirtCheap.com. You can get printed goods from there, and you can use code SOFAKING to save some money doing so. If you have a podcast and you need stickers, they do that. They do banners. They do all that good stuff. Blue-Eyed Mafia, if you haven't checked them out, check them out. They might suck. I've pitched
them
a lot.
How much are they paying us?
$0.
Okay, well, stop mentioning them.
They're paying us with fandom for a long time. Those are like old-school OG fans.
I don't give a fuck.
Man, Brad, you're hard to live with, Brad, okay?
Just keep going, Brent.
Yeah.
What do you expect?
I don't know how we stay married this long.
Why are you suddenly surprised?
Yeah. Like, all of a sudden, I'm the dick. Like,
suddenly surprised the new sex toy, actually, that we're selling.
Yeah. And, suddenly surprised. I already forgot our name.
You know what's
coming,
but you don't. Yeah,
we're also
gonna, when you use it, you will be suddenly surprised.
Yeah. We're also going to start selling like a Aleister Crowley Holly Hobby oven where you can bake your own whisker biscuits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Little light bulb.
Cupcake pans. Yeah. Cupcake pans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Muff muffins.
Yeah.
We will have recipes.
Yeah. Have butt cakes.
Whisker biscuits. Yeah. How did I not do that one? Yeah.
Yeah.
Recipes for all of the above.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah. Dough butt holes.
What?
So, on that note, printdirtcheap.com. Thank you to De Leon Graphics. I heard he loves cum biscuits.
Yep.
And he makes t-shirts.
Yep.
He makes dough butt holes.
Yeah.
Damn it, it's so hard to get through this shit. And check him out at Daily Own Graphics with an X on Facebook and Instagram if you need any printed goods like koozies or t-shirts.
And if you need his address to send him like big dick pic posters, just hit us up. We'll send it to you.
Yeah, it's 1931 I Street, Bakersfield, California, 93301. Just label it Dick Inside, and I will not open it, and I will forward it directly
get it right to him.
Yeah. Also, thank you to Digital Creations for our heat transfer products and our coffee mugs. You can find them at digital.creations.bakersfield. And they're on Facebook and Instagram. Contact them through message if you need products. They do one-offs, t-shirts, mugs, things like that. Mouse pads, keychains, all kinds of cool stuff. Baby onesies for those that have just front pooped out babies. And thank you.
I had to think about what he just said right there.
Thank you.
I didn't know you were a medical doctor.
I stole that from my
family. I didn't understand the term at first. Is what
a listener said that in a group with somebody. Someone posted, Cassie Mulligan posted a picture of her ultrasound, and some dude said, hey, I just front pooped out a baby too. Or my wife just front pooped out a baby too. And then another guy said, nice uterus, if you know what I mean. Like, our listeners are hilarious.
Yeah.
On that note, thank you to Dan Camarillo, Jiu Jitsu. You can log into
Arm Hunter. Nice
speaking
uterus.
Of nice
yeah,
uterus.
Speaking of nice uteruses.
Man, yeah.
Dan's got one. Yeah, we're talking about Dan, the jiu-jitsu legend. Yeah, too. His uterus is in awesome shapes, though. He keeps it tight, keeps
legendary.
It right. Yeah, it's legendary.
You would never guess his age.
He will fucking armbar you with his uterus.
On the
you
outside.
Stick your arm up there.
Yeah,
it
the
will
outside, 44, uterus of a 22-year-old.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Log into armhunter.com for apparel and instructional DVDs. And if you need tips and tricks on how to
fucking,
keep your uterus looking taut and tight and young.
He'll corndog you.
Yes.
Yeah. You stick your arm up in there, it's just like a corndog.
And that is that. That's what I got on that.
Oh, man. That might be the funnest sponsors that we've ever done.
Well,
it was a blast. I had a great time getting through it.
I concur.
Yeah.
Indeed.
I got nothing.
All right. Well, on that note, don't be a retard.
Make way for the SOV. Yo. body, oh fuck that, just whine like a gypsy. Can't see straight like I got one eye. Your bottle open, oh my. Let's get started. Move around, around like fuck to karate. Oh shit, my wordplay's nasty. Oh shit, don't put it past me. Move, bitch, get out the way. Nah, nigga, that I'm here to stay. Flow lazy, pick the pace up when I feel less hazy. J-Lo's got a body where you can't see mine, cause I wear my trousers baggy. Anyway. Prior to Snickers, this shit's hot. When the sniffer dogs, this get random.